Number one of me. Where it comes from, I don't know. It's your decision to where the things have to come from. But there's a lot of mistrust between the public and the public. There's a lot of mistrust between the business and the labor. And partly there's some mistrust, though we do the old government, so the federal government. But there's also some that is mistrust. So, I don't know where this is coming from, but I want my own thinking that to where this is coming from. It's not for you to have all the problems that obviously it's going to be difficult for us to move forward. And as most of the people say, that don't live among our folks. Don't fall among our feet, but just walk together and make a better kind of thing. So if we get to move in trust and walk together, then start to help people. We thought that the first area to start in the health sector, in trying to look at this mistrust and how we can move forward, is the interface between the public and the private in health. And the interface between the public and the private is actually a key measure so that given by the National Department of Health. I know that function has been dedicated to the provinces, but it's supposed to be the health. So that's the interface that what type of lesson that you teach, what you say, so that you can keep that interface and that chance for that working together moving forward. Not that you understand it very well, but what they are looking for might be starting to say, because the business is looking for profit and the public is looking for something else. But by that interface, that understanding probably doesn't seem to be true. We thought it was important that we invite some other people. Obviously, we invited National. Though National that the issue licenses, we invited them to meet. We invited the Board of Health and Canada. are interested. Don't feed them, I must follow, but come to the right. Don't feed them, I must follow, don't follow, I must not feed. Are you okay, then? Are you okay? Okay, okay. But I would want to eat that, even next to the other. Are you not in the Netherlands now?
Basic sort of concern that the
first is related to the economic and the cost, which will be delivered by the head or the manager, the senior manager in the unit that we call research and monitoring. And the second aspect will be some of the thoughts that you have in regards to these problems, and that will be delivered by Dr. Farid Mohammed.
Clinics. Now, if you look at your distribution amongst the four or the three biggest hospital groups to Netcare, Life and Mediclinic, and they basically own 84% of all the beds in the private medical scheme in the group. The next slide is slide number 8, and that is the private day clinics and hospitals per province.
Don't think that is a permanent impact on the non-hospital operators in the future. If you also were outside the country, so we know how to operate for our country this way. Thank you.
income that the different hospital groups will receive from the private medical schemes. And the first was life health. For 2013, we expect them to receive 11.545 billion rand, MediClinic 9.7 billion, and Netcare, the highest, 11.82 billion. We can clearly see the market concentration for the four bigger hospital groups. This is just a proportion in the next slide. Life will receive 29%, Netcare 50%, and MediClinic 25%. This is also from our annual report. You can see that for 2012, 57.92 billion was paid to private hospitals. And if you only look at the four hospital groups, like 31%, Netcare and MediClinic, again dominated by three of your bigger hospital groups. Okay, private hospitals, I think we know that hospital costs are a key cost driver, and there's a rising trend. And together with the rising trend, one can ask, what is the role of the managed care entities? Is one of the objectives of your managed care programs not to keep the patients out of the hospital? At the same time, one must also look at the relationship between the specialist and hospital. And we know there's really, about at this stage, there's no price regulation, not even in hospitals, it is across the board, no price regulation. And it makes it difficult, especially for the schemes where payment of been made. I'm going to, I think Farouk, my colleague, is going to take over now. But just to give you feedback on the risk benefits, of the total risk benefits paid out, approximately 1,000 rand per month per beneficiary is paid out to risk benefits. The PMB cost per beneficiary per month, now estimate for 2013, is 508 rand per beneficiary per month. Now what we have seen from the PMBs over time, around 2005, of your risk benefits paid out, the PMBs were approximately 55%. Now the PMBs is sitting around 55%. So of all the risk benefits being paid out, 55% is being paid out to the PMBs. Now the trend is a concern over time, but still, there's more than 40% of all risk benefits being paid out of benefits on top of the prescribed minimum benefit package. Any questions before I hand over to Dr. Farouk?
Maybe let's leave the questions for later.
Thank you.
I'm going to take off from my hands on left, just to then introduce light on the situation specifically with respect to private hospitals, and then to go on and share some of our thoughts with you. Other factors that influence private hospital expenditure will include factors like the fee-for-service reimbursement, which tends to incentivize utilization increases. New medical technologies, I've got a slide which I will present to you to show that in fact they do drive up costs, although in fact you would be able to achieve earlier diagnosis and more aggressive treatment. And then of course the principal agent relationship in terms of exactly who makes the decision about the provision of healthcare and the role of managed healthcare that Antoine alluded to. Aging population is another factor, and the disease burden and benefit utilization. And then of course, member consumption behavior. Now, these slides actually will be moved, so we go on to market concentration. This slide basically highlights the market concentration in terms of the major role players in the private hospital industry. And as demonstrated, and this is work done by Council for Medical Schemes in its submission to the Compensation Commissioner, that there are clear indications that the major hospital groups are using their market power to charge high prices and not to engage in price competition with each other. And private hospitals are also reimbursed mainly through their fee-for-service reimbursement method, with limited number of private hospitals participating in risk transfer-based payment methods. The fee-for-service method of reimbursing private hospitals and private practitioners is likely to have contributed to the rise in utilization, since earnings are directly related to the volume of work, and this is to quote Diane McIntyre in 1997. And hence, most stakeholders within the industry complain about the supply-induced demand. The reported increase in utilization of high-tech diagnostic procedures in recent years illustrates the incentives contained in the fee-for-service reimbursement system. I'll take you to the next slide, which is the top five administrators by total beneficiaries. It's not exactly correct. It will need to be corrected because Momentum now falls under the Metropolitan Health Group. But suffice it to say that private hospitals often argue that the administrators of medical schemes also have market power with economies of scale. And so this market power serves to neutralize the private hospital dominance during tariff negotiations. And this is not absolutely true. If you look at this slide, which illustrates private hospital return on investment for the period 1988 to 2007, and this slide clearly illustrates that the return on investment has grown from 10%, that's on the left-hand side of the slide, to the north of 20%, and that the cost of debt, which are the red vertical bars, has actually dropped significantly since 1999. So with the return on investment rising and the cost of debt falling, the gap between these horizontal bars, the blue and the red, has actually widened significantly, as you can see with the right-hand side of the slide. And so this gap represents the economic value which shareholders in the private hospital industry have enjoyed in increasing amounts over the last few years. Coming back to the issue of health technology, this is just to illustrate to you that South Africa, in terms of the MRI scanners that we have in our country, per million population, we have roughly in the region of about 12 MRI scanners per million population. And even if we say that in our country we have a population of 60 million, and compare that to the United States, where the MRI scanners go well beyond, just a little beyond 25, and the population there is about 350 to 400 million. At the same time, if you look at countries like New Zealand, like the Netherlands, Canada, and the United Kingdom, these are countries that are not developing countries, but they are developed countries, first world countries, and the number of MRI scanners in these countries are far fewer than the number that we have in South Africa, in the private sector. I now go on to share with you some of our thoughts, and we've entitled this Proposed Solutions for Consideration. Number one on the list will be a statutory pricing authority. It's the kind of thing that was spoken about a few years ago, and I think attention and focus has to be brought back to a statutory pricing authority. I'm not going to go into detail regarding the governance of this authority. We can always talk about this later on and discuss it. But this would be the kind of thing that would be able to address the issue of rising costs throughout the private sector in terms of all the suppliers of service, including the private hospitals. The necessary interventions in a private healthcare environment, these are some of our thoughts that we would like to share with you. Firstly, to correct market power imbalance in the fee for service, and there should be negotiation through the central bargaining system. And here we refer to the statutory pricing authority. And secondly, the removal of vertical relationships between the various pricing, between the various private hospital groups and their supply chain. In particular, pathology, radiology, pharma, which will include pharmacy and pharmaceuticals, medical devices, and consumables and surgical used in hospitals. Going on further with necessary interventions, point three will be addressing conflicts of interest through ownership links, shares, and other inducements with specialists, emergency transport facilities, and also general or family practitioners. And then, of course, the issue of improvement of the hospital licensing system, where we could concentrate on capacity building within provincial departments of health, emphasis on the needs-based criteria for the licensing of new private hospitals, and Antoine has indicated to us where, in fact, we will find most of the private hospitals. Seems like the hospitals tend to follow the money, as illustrated to him earlier on. And diversity in hospital ownership through the licensing system. And this would be an attempt to address market barriers for new hospitals that have difficulty in entering the system. Introduction of private, not-for-profit hospitals, and a minimum level of hospital licenses held by non-profit. Point five will be innovative healthcare financing and delivery models. Just to mention that the thought that we would like to share with you was the establishment of centers of excellence and preference for staff model hospitals, the kind that can be seen in the mining industry. These are some slides which are not supposed to appear on this screen. We have taken them out when we revised the presentation. other necessary interventions which we thought we'd like to share with you would be continual support and strengthening of the medical team's managed healthcare interventions to address market failures within the supply and demand side of the private healthcare industry, and influence the provision and consumption of healthcare by members and also by providers, and to control the rising cost of healthcare by keeping patients out of hospital, as alluded to by Anton. Continual support and strengthening of the medical team's managed healthcare intervention is something that we can also look at and talk about. Member education on issues of access, cost, and quality health outcomes is important. So at the end of the day, you could manage access, utilization costs, and health quality outcomes. Coming to the conclusion, the current statutory framework is limited in addressing market failures associated with private hospitals. And the Council of Medical Schemes has a particular mandate. This mandate is governed by the Medical Schemes Act, and it is a regulator of the private medical aid industry. In the same way that the Health Professions Council also has a mandate. Both are statutory bodies and they have unique mandates. So a statutory pricing authority will enable effective pricing regulation within the industry. To share a thought with you that we have been discussing within Council for Medical Schemes, and this is a kind of discussion that arose following the invitation from the Portfolio Health Committee, several of the senior managers together with the registrar were involved in this discussion over the past few days. And the feeling was that although the Council for Medical Schemes does not actually have a mandate to regulate the private hospital industry, it could in fact perform the function of an intermediate regulator provided the necessary resources are made available to it to perform that function. And in so doing, over the period of time, functioning as an intermediate regulator of the private hospital industry, a regulator can then ultimately be formed. There was a precedent that was set in the past in terms of the REF, the Risk Equalization Fund, which was housed in the Council for Medical Schemes, but financed from outside. And maybe it is something that we can look at and we can talk about, and it's a thought that we would like to share with you and with the Portfolio Health Committee. In terms of the licensing of hospitals specifically, which is Regulation 158, the feeling was that perhaps we could look at a scenario where private hospitals in future going forward, when licenses are issued to private hospitals, perhaps a condition could be made that a certain percentage of the beds within these private hospitals be used to provide care and treatment for non-medical aid patients at a capitated fee. It is something that we can talk about and discuss as well. We have a situation that exists at the moment where within the public health sector, the awards or portions of the hospital that are allocated to the private sector. In the same way, we can apply that principle to the private hospitals as well. It's a thought to share with you at a meeting here today and with the Portfolio Health Committee. Way on forward, and I've just got one or two more slides, is the capacity building and revitalization of public hospitals is important so as to influence competition within the industry. And it is envisaged that the market inquiry, which presently has commenced, despite certain challenges made by certain private hospital groupings, and this inquiry will, amongst other things, provide evidence required for the establishment, it is hoped, of the statutory pricing authority, and this will enable effective price regulation within the industry. Any failure to address the central systemic cost factor on the supply side of the health system will lead to a continued deterioration in access to health care through medical skin. And I don't think any one of us wants this to happen. It is not in keeping with our policy in terms of health care delivery and access going forward. And it is not in keeping with what we as sensible and reasonable citizens of the country will want for ourselves and for our children and for the future of this country. And the consequences will be significant for the country. For while the industry will remain extremely profitable and unsustainable, it will do so at the cost of access to health care for all. And we need to ask ourselves whether we really need that kind of situation. I thank you for your choice.
Thank you very much. I do know that I'm tolerant. Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you, Anthony. Is it Anthony or Anton? Thank you very much for that presentation. Members, you will understand what we are aiming at here is to understand what's happening in the private sector. And having understood, we'll be able to make the recommendation. The reason why I said the province must be here and we don't need the accreditation as of now is for them to look at this. But looking at the presentation, because I did not be done by somebody who is in the country of my career, is very neutral. But our aim is that firstly we transform the health services in our country. In consuming them, we must make sure that we maintain good quality healthcare services in our country. That is affordable for everybody. That's where we are actually trying to go. And we don't want to do it in a way that we're going to make up. It's something that we want to discuss all of us and agree that this is the best way, because in any case, this is the land that we borrowed from one of our fathers, and we are keeping it for the future generation. Now we want to give it to the future generation in a better condition than we got it from our fathers. And one of the things that we have been telling him that our life expectancy is increasing, and it increasing is going to call for more medical services. Because the older we become, the more we get sick, and the more we get sick, the more we need healthcare services. So we definitely need the facilities that are going to be necessary. I'm saying this to know that as a commission, I don't think we're going to come with every recommendation, but we're going to be waiting for the commission to have an idea to come up with recommendations. But the only thing that with that, why Travis went to detail in terms of saying this is what can be done. Probably it's going to take up to 2 and 3 years to complete. And the question is what do we do during that time? Why do we waiting for the commission to finish up? Because those are the recommendations that are not. What are we going to be doing at that time? But we need to do it in a way that everybody understands what we are trying to do. We need to communicate so that we can remove that mistrust within all of us. Now it's open to members, it's open for suggestions. I said the provinces must be here. Feel free, provinces, especially the MDCs, to entertain questions and answer. You can ask questions. This is not a cut and dry thing. open for questions. Maybe we do much of what's going to the honorable member, but everybody can get answered. But there's a broken, mind. And I think this is here that the counterpoint that has been answering the Professor Bagliato, who followed with the responding to the question. I'm sure NBC was from Northwest. You've seen the Professor Bagliato, it looks like your doctor. Like, you notice that it looks like your doctor. You must give an award to the father. Oh, you know, it's better, okay. Yeah, this is your profession. If you've got a revolving mind, those are look at your hand. Because for you can come to your own to answer questions. Okay. Any questions or plans and anything that you want to ask? Okay. The energy from the state. I said you should come to national. I knew that. Okay. No. The first person came from here. Okay, Jim. Please, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. In the normal case, we have a sudden influx of applications since 2011. And almost all of them say that their application is based on preparation for NHI. So, and our understanding of NHI is that the commissioners of healthcare will be district health authorities who will buy services from the public and the private sector. What we wanted to know is what the relationship would be between that commissioning process and a pricing commission. They seem to be contradictory.
Okay, your question is good to the answer. I'm hoping that they're talking down the question. Okay, there was a question from Sister.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Though we are used to shouting from across the valley in the Free State with the hope that we will be heard whenever we are
heard. It's below the mountain.
The Free State is flat.
I said the Free State is flat, but not the time that it is bitter. I said, no, it's not flat. But I continue.
Comrade Chair, lastly, what I'm going to raise is based on observation and perhaps what we also should be thinking about. If there is a concern related to the rising private health care costs, as government, are we ready to regulate those rising health care costs in whatever means that we can devise? Or have we resigned to the fact that there's nothing that we can do to the extent that we have also begun to participate in that space? I will find why I say so. Some of the private hospital facilities that are being erected elsewhere, we funded them as government. People come to government entities to ask for money, which they get, and they go and build private medical facilities. I think that is not enough. We also have been given power to license them. And maybe there could be some shortfalls in us putting certain conditions which whoever that we license has to comply with. And on the other hand, it doesn't look like we are doing well in terms of monitoring compliance. We further went on as government to provide a medical aid scheme for government employees. Now, with that conduct, aren't we perpetuating this that we say it's a problem by being a participant regulator? in this whole equation. And if we are then to say national health insurance is the way that we would like to ensure that there's equitable distribution of healthcare services, including access, and we say it has to be access to quality healthcare, and that access not being dependent on a person's socioeconomic status, and we perpetuate exactly that which we are saying we're trying to correct. Maybe in what we do, we need to look deep into our own actions as government, how we legislate and how we behave, so that we shouldn't be like maybe the wrong signs, which all only show where people should go and they don't go themselves. So that's what I would like to put across, Chair, that we ponder on, and maybe if this forum would be able to have that as one of the seeds that are planted for them to begin a discourse within the relevant structure for us to really come up clearly and seriously in asking the private healthcare is profitable, yet unsustainable, but progressively it will have bad consequences for the public out there that cannot afford the rising cost of the healthcare.
Thank you, Anise. Maybe even whether they're going to answer your question, I think I need to come in here. One of the reasons why we decided to call it a problem is because we noticed that things are not going the same way. And our interest as citizens of South Africa is that we want a better life. And we want a situation where our life expectancy can be prolonged and it can only be done by the health system. So it's something that we need to be discussing all of us. Obviously, as I said, we've got a commission that is sitting, that is going to be done. So all the ideas, the good ideas that are being generated, I think they need to be presented because it's something that we need to discuss all of us. And removing that part by saying this is what we want for South Africa and how do we move forward together. And I'm sure your case is not the main of certain things. Are we not looking at ourselves? Are we not looking at ourselves? This is what we need to discuss on and say this is what we want for everybody. We might not agree with everything that we say, but as long as we know that I didn't know that the other that you bought that first property, but you never bought the property. I don't never bought the property. If so, whatever you can have it. If you look at the data, it's going to come for that.
Why am I asking that? Because we find that most of the private hospitals are in urban areas. Then when they are in urban areas, we find that the department is also bound to have a public hospital in the same city. Now, every urban city, we find that, like, I will talk about that point. Do we have Johnson Mandan Hospital as a provincial hospital? a lot of questions. I was hoping that I would hear what you did consider on the government.
Maybe I'll keep on asking that. I'll keep on going to why the community. I don't think we're going to have unhealthy for two reasons. The first one is that this meeting is just to be an eye-opening meeting. That's why we call the new government the community and have a discussion document. The second one is that there's a commission that is already finished and which needs all our ideas. So we might not be able to answer anything. As we said, it seems as if the problem is just we're not in the same thing, but the name one that has been given necessarily. I'm not sure whether it's regulation 158 or but that 158 that has been used quite often. So maybe some of the things that you are asking. Because there are many questions that we can ask. Some of the questions is we are talking about mainly from our healthcare. If the blood is considered industry, it's actually treated hospital. They are at the level of the hospital that are open now. There is in primary healthcare, I've seen some private from our healthcare institutions, but not much. And many of them are actually doing things with nothing that is going on in the other area. Probably because there's no profit that they're going to get in the rural area. But these are the things that some of them are not going to be answered here. It's just an eye-opener. And some of the things that are going to take them to the commission, some of them are going to look together and see how to make this move. But if there are laws that are going to be changed, we've got to amend certain laws. This is why the Department of Health is here, so that we can see how we amend those laws, and that is going to be on our. But some of the questions are going to be answered by the people that are not going to be presented. But I'm just mentioning some of the things because we saw everybody here. And I don't want people to go directly and say, this is how we've been giving licenses, because we know there's something that has been happening there, and it has been going on. But we want to see whether one is right, we need to change it, but it can be decided somehow. I saw there was another hand you started and then you can introduce yourself. I only know the members in English. Okay, Dr. Kanadi, we got the judges.
Yeah, I
think
I look at this regulation by my understanding, maybe I was under the wrong impression, my impression was that they were going to give us some sort of comparison in terms of how problems are like in the UK. But from the presentation they were looking, it talks more about the cost of private sector or the cost in the regulation. It's unfortunate that we do not look at the presentation for provinces, but if you look at the free state, not because of provinces, but if you look at the presentation by the free state, I think it was more relevant. I mean, if they were given an opportunity to make a presentation about what is the real life, it addresses more the issues which we need to address. But their presentation is more, it addresses the subject, the way I look at it. But the issue which I thought you could also try to address, to me, what is important is, what are the reasons for either granting the license or declining the license, in most cases, and whether when they decline the licenses, any problems have been challenged to them. In court, and the courts that are setting conditions under which the court guidelines under which the licenses can be granted or declined. Are we in
If we say we don't know the difference about that, we should look into what if, because it became more, information about what the overall engineer.
That's a compliment to succeed. But if we allow succeed to make it to the table, we have no option but to allow it to succeed. And this is not what we wanted to do. If it's eye opening, the answer is no. Let's just keep it as a basis. But for now, let's not go and allow problems to present parts. We're going to be calling them to make a presentation. But for now, we just discuss it as a perspective. The gardens where they continue.
Thank you for the invitation to attend this meeting. My name is Rajesh Patel from Board of Health Care Funders, and I sort of comment a little bit further to the presentation that was made by the Council for Medical Students. And I'll just talk a little bit about the need for private health care facilities, decentralized license allocation, the impact of that, and a little bit about the regulatory framework for these facilities. When we look at the need for private health care facilities, we hear about the occupancy rate in the private sector between 65 and 70%. Now that indicates there is some capacity that's going to be there, but you must understand the capacity is less during the week, and on the weekend the capacity is much higher. South Africa is one of the few countries in the world that has that intent to have public holidays. We have 52 public holidays on Sundays as well. I think also when you look at the occupancy levels that they have, the occupancy of ICUs and high care in the private sector is significantly higher, and not always necessarily for medical reasons. What has happened some time ago when the Department of Health decided to issue a moratorium on issuing licenses, it took about a year, between a year and 2 years before the province picked up and filled the gap. Now I'm saying that in a little bit of a cynic manner because I don't think you talk about filling gap in a positive sense. There's something so. And the question I ask is, well, for what benefit are they doing and at what cost they're doing it? And if you look at the decentralized allocation of licenses, it's important that the issue of licenses is consistent and linked to the constitutional mandate to promote access to affordable care. When one looks at the whole issue for what benefit, the first thing that comes to mind, well, if you create a hospital in the region, you're creating jobs. And if you look at the job component, yes, it comes to those involved in the hygiene, the cleaning component, the clerical management, yes, it's a creation of paid jobs. If you talk about creating a professional job, the answer is no. We're not in an environment where we're creating a lot more professionals than we're using up. And the professionals' jobs, I would say definitely. Now, where do these people come from that call this professional job? They come from the public sector. And essentially, it's the public sector where the clinic operates. So you have a higher vacancy rate in the public sector. And not surprisingly, that will have the necessary effect of service levels in the patient as well. So you have a situation in this environment where to some extent while you think you're trying to meet a need out there, you sort of cut your nose to spite your face in terms of the effect that does occur. One of the things that I have observed is that some of those licenses are issued to the big three hospital groups. Now I might say, you know, when you issue licenses, it's about empowerment, but if you issue to the three big hospital groups, are you really needing the empowerment out there? You're not necessarily promoting entrepreneurship and the establishment of small to middle sized companies. By giving licenses to the three big groups, you're actually increasing the cost of healthcare. Now we're not going to talk too much about, you know, the average cost of the different hospital groups, etc. That will come out eventually in the hearings. But essentially, making a statement of fact, and the minister has been on record saying that the three listed hospitals are more expensive than the independent hospitals. In terms of the Competition Commissioner, Section 41A, the private hospital industry is already described as a complex monopoly that's driving inflation up. And recently, there was something in the newspapers about Medicare being asked to sell out their hospitals in England. When it comes to legislative and regulatory framework, incidentally, to address the question that was raised about state funds being used to build a hospital, the Minister of Health has actually told the Industrial Development Corporation not to fund any more private hospitals in the future. And I think from the message I got from IBC, they are no longer doing it. But we also need to get them to stop funding device companies as well, which are a different story. Chair, the legislative and regulatory framework, I'm of the view that regulation 158 is archaic and really doesn't address the license needs. It's more about sort of the bricks and mortar type of thing than really what we need in the healthcare environment. And to substantiate this, Western Cape has established their own set of regulations to address the licensing issue. Yes, Parliament recently passed a law and that led to the development of office standard compliance, but once again, that's about quality. What we don't have in this country is a kind of a formal regulator for health facilities. Then we have a health profession council for the health professionals, you have a nursing council, you have pharmacy councils, etc., but we don't have a formal regulator for health facilities, all health facilities in the country. And it's critical that when licenses are issued, it's issued on the basis of meeting a health need. And really, in the private sector right now, there isn't a need for hospitals to say, there's a need for day clinics, and there's a need for sub-acute facilities, and a need for step-down facilities. And I think we'll stop my comments.
Thank you. For me, I talk about primary healthcare, the need for more primary healthcare. Thank you. Your
turn. I'm Ben Barbara, I'm a legal specialist at
What's the
a legal specialist?
What is where?
In the private health center.
I can't hear that last word.
And we're working in the private health sector as a legal expert, and we have the NHM today as well. If I may bring just some direction, maybe, I think it's important for us to understand the current legislative environment in which we find ourselves. As we stand here today, we have Regulation 158, private hospital property. That regulation was initially a national competence, which the Minister of Health had intended to the old Health Act of 1957. I must reiterate one of the points that has been made. Regulation 158 was first drafted in the 1980s. We're now sitting in 2014. Perhaps time to revisit that just from the more foundation. There's some inherent difficulties in the Regulation 158. In 1994, through a proclamation issued under the interim constitution, power of Regulation 158 was devolved to the provinces. Since then, only one province has enacted its own regulations pertaining to private hospitals, and that's the Western Cape. We're looking at almost 20 years ago. I think what we need to look at is Regulation 158 and ask ourselves the question, is it applicable to the regulation of private healthcare sector that we sit here today? Because as we stand, Regulation 158 only has one criteria for the allocation of a license, and that criteria is there a need? And that has to be justified by the province. And our experience is that of all the nine provinces, we have nine different interpretations of what constitutes a need. Nine different criteria applied in terms of coming up with that answer. We need some uniformity, we need to know what's happening in these provinces, we need to know what's happening from a procedural point of view. Yes. And also, you know, from an adjudication point of view, when there is a dispute in terms of those allocations, the non-allocation of licenses, how those resolve between the provinces, how the adjudication committees are working. There's no consistency in that regard. Another point which we need to reiterate is that Regulation 158 not only is old in terms of the fact that it's drafted the way back when, but there's no flexibility. It doesn't allow for other types of flexibility. It has a one-size-fits-all approach. For example, mental health facilities are required to adhere to Regulation 158, which was designed for an acute-based hospital. It requires 2-meter-wide corridors. Why would you want that in a mental health facility? Doesn't have theatres, doesn't have colleges, doesn't need those white colleges. So we're looking at Regulation 158 having some carve-outs to provide for alternative type of facilities, such as step down, sub-acute, none of which have formal definition under the current law. And then there's also the National Health Act, Section Chapter 6, which is yet to be promulgated. You know, we're
city was in a very, very difficult position with that. Not working, not functioning optimally. And I think it's time that we relook at that issue before we start making categories of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There's a head to another report. Regulation one time to each report. Is that going to you, the regulation stems from those laws that you initiated and executed. Those that ratified and dedicated to the department. Fortunately, the department has not got the ability yet. So they are listening. But that's the problem. So the other problem.
Thank you, Chair. I tend to agree with the previous speaker. And I also want to say what we do need are some guidelines covering the standard approach, because this is too fragmented. We need some good and clear criteria for the country. There needs to be clarity and transparency. And we need to define the areas that we need to measure the assets and make them available to the general public. This sort of thing should be rewarding the licenses, should actually be more available to the public as well. I think it's unfortunate that at this stage each of the provinces has a different interpretation. It's not good for the country as a whole. But what we do need are rules, criteria, and transparency so that we can get a good system going. And if it's a threat that they need out of the bathwater, the good system exists, the good facilities exist, so I need to maintain them. But we also need to make sure that the processes go forward more in a better fashion rather than in a haphazard fashion. Thank you, Chair. And then I said, my law will be waiting a long time. This is the latest.
Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Actually, the previous speaker covered what I wanted to question about. This regulation that I think, I find it very problematic because it's so old. It's never been reviewed, and you know, I think it's very important if you want to take have it in better common in South Africa to begin to look at this rural cycling. Because rural cycling did not come from the wall. I think it came from government at a certain point in time. That's point number one that needs to be looked at when we talk about regulation, health, and private health care. Secondly, I would like to know the criteria used by various provinces to allocate licenses or to give licenses to whoever is applying are the demographic of the province ever before. Because I think one of my colleagues said these are almost always in the urban areas, and then the bulk of the people that need healthcare are not in urban areas. Maybe that is one of the reasons, again, that we are getting a lot of migration into the urban areas. So socially speaking, let us also look at the criteria for having these healthcare in where they are looking at demographics. That's my other confusion, in fact, I don't know what to say. But the other area, looking at the presentation that was given by the last presenter, Farouk Adin, it is a private health sector that also looking at health-seeking behavior. Does that imply that they also are involved in primary health care? If so, actually I wish the committee would just get some information at a later time, not necessarily here, around the issue of the primary health care that is being given there at a time. Also in the presentation, there was a reference to then I can just explain. Private, non-profit. And because we know that private always, there is always a profit aspect within private. And yeah, thank you. Thank you, John.
Uniformity, clarity, transparency, and efficiency in that process. And I certainly
government department and the private sector could work together in formulating something which is useful to everybody. That has been a huge achievement, and it's certainly high time we get this done. I also obviously appreciate the fact that the Competition Commission will be considering an entire inquiry into the price of healthcare, including rising costs and the actual prices of our costs. I think it's unfortunate that the TME has been granted the opportunity to make a presentation at this point, asking the benefit of all other parties presenting on the same issues that have been presented. Naturally, at the Competition Commission, that opportunity will be given to everybody, and the Honourable Chairman there will make decisions as to the acceptability of various information, and then have the opportunity to make recommendations in the future. I think maybe in response to certain of the aspects of the CMS has said, I would just like to bring the following one or two points to the attention of this audience. Firstly, hospital tariff inflation is published by stats these days. This inflation has been well contained over many years, and is below the inflation of hospital input costs, which are largely influenced by nurses' salaries. And at the moment, the nurses' salaries in the private sector tend to be lower than the public sector. Another aspect that I think is extremely important to mention is the very important work that has been done by the Actuarial Science Faculty of the University of Cape Town, where they have looked at the input costs and the prices of the private versus the public sector, and found the difference to be minimal. That will also be presented at the Competition Commission. And lastly, I would like to make the point that has not been said in this presentation, that the increase in hospital expenditure, which yes, if you look at pure facts and numbers and names and things, that are seen to be high, has been principally due to increased utilization by an aging and sicker population, and not by the need on the part of the private.
Thank you very much. This is all actually about something that can be done on that page, and the one of the top parliament but I would like us to defend or blame somebody about all who are interested in to see how to make South Africa a better country. And we need to be our father and the national minister and move forward together and make us better. Actually, so man is a very good achievement, often in the life expected to have a leadership in the future. And that's a very good point. And now let's remove the minister and move forward. And the platform that they is a country of democracy, the government of the people, by the people. And let's discuss those things openly, not protecting, not pointing fingers, but saying this is where we want to go. Let's talk as a group of people, every country. Not trying to protect or to blame somebody else that you think we should do that. That's why we thought that CMS was going to talk something about, obviously, we can't handle everything. They can't handle everything like that. That's it. But they have to do that. Okay, are there any other comments, questions, while we are waiting for the team to be ready? Oh, okay, oh, sorry, how can I not see you? I think my question is about the German force. I need to change that. I'm not the guy that's coming. You can put this guy that's right.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation that has been done. I also share the same sentiment that you've done with the global comment, because my understanding was going to talk about residency. But anyway, let me just focus on residency rather than focusing on what is causing the mistrust among the public sector and the private sector. I just wanted to find out regarding the application for this residency. Whether the customers, they may comment on the application that has been given to the province. Because only sometimes there may be people who apply, but the customer might have questions, you know, comments or concerns. That is the question. The second one, I've been listening to all the presentations from different taking the field of a private commissioner. My other question is, other provinces, I don't see them having the policy that we can be achieved, we can have a specific policy that we can be achieved, especially for those that we are business in the finance. And we are also finding out how those are received for the appeal to be analyzed. I know that some few weeks ago we were touched when the minister was inaugurating the establishment of the Office of Standard of Compliance. I want to find out whether this could also be called common capacity. Do we have capacity also to go inside to those that we have given and elected? Or to still study to do our own inspection in our own sector. So that is the question that I want to ask. Yeah, I think our invitation.
Thank you, I wanted to avoid allowance of because we're going to have and that's why I said at the beginning, you said we want them to come there. Now, if that's what a discussion then engage on private. But in asking them to tell you, why do you ask me what happened in the service? Do you have an organization that looks at veterans in front of you? I want to avoid that because that's why we said that we need to do that. We give them an opportunity where they will come and present. Each one is going to present themselves. How many people are there? What happened in someone's life and have not included? What criteria are they living with? This is what we wanted to avoid. But the key thing that seems to be coming up is that the regulation on natural needs to be really clear. And giving the opportunity, the members of parliament to look at that the regulation on natural and see whether that is helpful. And then when we meet them, we'll be well versed to this regulation on natural and we'll be able to engage them. Why is there not enough in this hospital, when you give them license, do you consider that they are more qualified than the medical? Do you consider that they don't have tertiary and paternal services, but they could still be able to make the MRI? When do you give them license, do you consider that they are concentrated in big cities, not in the small rural areas? Is this because of the profit that they're not going to get in those areas? But those questions, I think let's leave them when we call them again to be able to make their own decisions. But for today, let's not allow them to present, but that they can ask that from the user folder that they can see there. I know some people think that they are not a member, but we feel that they think that that's the case. Mentally, it's not their job to regulate any other person, but medically. So I allow us to contain that letter, but knowing very well that they must listen to what is going on here. But when they come with their presentation there. In my program, having given this education, this is what you're doing. This is what, irrespective of the old regulation that needs to be regulation on but this is what we have done in the community. That's why I keep on saying there's a commission that we have now, which is also committed to complaining. But life has got to go on while the commission is going on. So we still need private hospitals. We don't need to close them. They are already there. They need to continue, but we need to look at certain things. How to do this? That's that. Okay, I'm sure it seems like that. Has got one good slide that shows that the cost of healthcare in America is very high, yet the health indicators are rising. And it's a good thing that the cost of healthcare is high, and sometimes that happens at this time. And these are the things that we need to discuss, but we need to take care of ourselves in those discussions. I'm sorry if maybe we dwell on licensing formally attempted to kill your head for doing that, it's going to be licensed in that what we're talking about. But obviously we know that there are some challenges there. And those challenges, people need to prepare themselves to enjoy them. Okay. I wish I could know everybody by name. It's only that my brain is so small. I'm going to buy it by that day.
Thank you.
where it comes from, whether it comes from the president of the party, that will not be able to contest the president. That's the kind of force. Okay. Any other question about going forward? I'm hoping that it is very good. So, if they're not